טוב, אני מתחיל עם השיחה. זה לא ארוך, אז זה בלי הפסקה עכשיו. אפשר קצת הפסקה אחרי השיחה של לזוז, תוך את הגוף. אני רוצה לך... I go to English. Do you mind to translate Farsi? It won't be so long, so maybe the two of you could just... The title of the talk is How to Hold a Baby. And one of the most special experiences in my life has happened in the last 3 weeks when I have a new granddaughter. And in the mornings at 4:30, I go over to the house there and I hold a baby and I do walking meditation with the baby. Give the mother and the father time to sleep. They've been up most of the night, so they can have a couple of hours sleep, and I walk with the baby. The mindfulness experience of meditation with a baby in my arms is different from the awareness when I sit quietly on my own. It feels like the baby has dropped out of the universe into my arms. It gives me that extra connection with the universe through this new being that's kind of dropped out of the universe into my arms. The meditation itself, the mindfulness as I walk, I just walk in the room, up and down, holding the baby. The baby goes through all its digestive biod of grepsim and burpsim and little sounds and little, issues, all based on the marechet, you call the digestive system. But something is so peaceful and so deep and so quiet because of this connection that I feel with this being. So it's just an example of the process of awareness in relationship, where we are with each other or others, we are with the same baby, except it's us and another. An adult, or a child, or an old person. We all dropped out of the universe. So when you are with another, that other is actually a huge mystery, a total mystery, that you can never find the end of this other human being. And the problem is we don't see that. We usually see a very restricted world of our selves. The self here and the self of the other. And the self of the other may be coming with many issues and we feel contracted. The relationship becomes minimal. But if we see another behind the habits and the arguments and the talks and even behind the love, is mystery, is something big, which we can never, never get to the end of this. And when we feel that mystery, when we feel the bigness of this other being and of ourselves together, we can really deeply begin to, as Thich Nhat Hanh says, to water the seeds, to give food, the seeds of our relationship. We can have an attitude of nutrition, hazana, to feed the relationship with our awareness, when we feel the bigness of this, it helps us to feed this relationship rather than to struggle within it. It's all based, I would like to summarize all the whole thing in one word, in one English word, which for me is an important English word, and the word is respect. Respect. Now, when you translate that to Hebrew, it becomes kavod. And I think it misses something, because it's kaved. It's a bit heavy. Kavod is heavy. Respect comes from the Latin. And spect means to see. Like inspect, aspect, spectacles, all come from the same Latin root, to see. Respect, re means again. So to look again is respect. It's a beautiful word. To look again. It is not about kavod. It's about looking. Respect is about looking. And when we look again, not the first look, not the second look, but keep looking, mindful looking into the other, into the place of our relationship, respect happens by itself. I remember going to a conference in Germany and representing some peace work that we were doing with Israelis and Palestinians. I gave a talk about our activity together and what it is that holds the possibility. We used to bring a lot of Israelis to meet with Palestinians in Nablus. For years we were doing this program and doing a workshop together. And they asked me, what's the basis? How does it happen? It's this word, respect. If you can look again at the other, a Palestinian that you have, we have, all these projections, labels, issues, distance, da 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 da. As soon as you look again and you see the person, it dramatically changes. And the person sees you. Everything changes. Peace is easy when, with respect, looking again. It's no problem to make peace with the other, whoever the other is. The issue in relationship is that we as a self, ha'ani, the self, gets very strong, gets very dominant, because of the challenge, like we were saying yesterday, the challenge of the other forces sometimes us to be defensive, to be protecting ourselves, to be a self. The seeing works against that. When we look carefully at the other, at ourselves, we actually drop the self-importance. It's just seeing. So we may have many expectations of another person. We may have many, we want another person to be a certain person. We want them to be like this or like that. We have a dream of how they should be, of how our relationship should be, of what ought to happen, of how the language ought to be between us. Just to see the expectations, the issues, to see the self growing, as soon as we get challenged, we see the self here jump up and we get response. That seeing already dissolves it, already begins to break the self. The selfing in relationship is the problem. Two strong selves, the self keeps coming up and says, oh, I don't like this and I don't like that, and they shouldn't be like this, and they said this to me, and I I expect something else from them, and they expect something else from me, and we, the selfing. But seeing is always melting the strong self, because seeing is beyond self. It's just awareness. It's just seeing. So, of course, it's coloured by the self. But the more we just look in mindfulness, the more the self gets less important. Just the seeing takes the space that was filled by selfing. Do you see what I mean? The basis is exactly what we're doing here. Well, when we sit, we are applying awareness, mindfulness, to our mind-body system. To do that, we need to, in a way, stand back a little bit, to kind of get out of the identification, ahizdahut, to stand back a little bit and watch the show, watch the drama, the opera tzabon. Just stand back and watch it happening. That's actually the basis of what we can do in a relationship called respect. We stand back a little bit and we watch the show, even if it seems like opera tzabon sometimes. It's okay, it doesn't matter, without conditions. The seeing takes more importance than actually what happens. So, for example, in a voice might come in us to say, "You're not there when I need you," to our partner, or our child, or our friend. "I need you and you're not there." Okay, let's look at that voice in us. We all have it. If we look at that voice, we see all the layers in us. Neediness, I need, I expect, I am the center, I have built a history, maybe from childhood, maybe these voices come way back, maybe their voices from the unconscious, subconscious. Just that simple thing. But that voice, if we really give it space, can destroy a relationship, which sometimes doesn't need, it's unnecessary. It means we're not looking with respect. Respect, looking again at ourselves, how we have this need, this voice, where it comes from, what it is, and it's painful, dukkha, and looking at it, what it does to the other, how we transmit our pain to the other. The other may feel defensive, "I can't deal with your needs, it's too much for me, you're too pressure, and so on. And the other way around, the other person's voices making pressure on the relationship. Looking at these voices, taking a breath, standing back, holding the relationship in our awareness. And awareness here is not just awareness of mind, it's awareness of heart. So it's also a kind of caring awareness. Just like when we have our mindfulness applying, we turn the light of awareness to ourselves, it is always with a heart. We are always kind. Even if there's critical mind that we meet it with kindness. The basis of Dharma is kind attention, not neutral attention like a computer. It's kind attention. So kind attention with ourselves, kind attention with the other, kind attention in the space between. That kind of awareness takes the place of the voices that otherwise create pressure on our relationships can be any. I remember once I was in the Himalayas with a Swami Shyam in Kulu. There's a Swami, a teacher, spiritual teacher, a community there. And one of the people there asked him, I am divorced. It's a woman. She said, I'm divorced. And I grew up my daughter in a holistic way with good food and good education and natural, organic life, holistic life. And I'm divorced. When she goes to her father, they sit all weekend in front of the television eating sweet mamtakim and hamburgers. I can't take it. What do I do? And Swami said, don't put pressure on that situation. Watch the child growing with huge appreciation, respect and love. In the end, that's what the child needs. Not your pressure. And there's a deep truth in that, that we emanate, we mishader, we radiate encouragement, seeing, holding, or we radiate pressure, holding, tightness. Another example, I know someone in England, a friend of mine, whose son at the age of 13 started to go out on the streets at very young age of 13, out on the streets, sleeping on the streets, going parties all night, buying and selling drugs on the street, etc., and just wouldn't, nothing that the mother could do. And mother very upset, wondering what to do, so with the social workers and and we talked a lot about it, and I said that yes, you need to be active as a mother, not just to keep on giving the message that I'm here for you, to the son. You don't need to, you have a place to come back to when you come in the morning after a whole night out. You have a place, you have constant warmth, but don't forget that maybe your anxiety, and this person was very anxious mother since birth, your anxiety may be driving the boy out on the streets. That you think your anxiety is for the boy, but the boy feels anxiety that is radiated from you, and maybe that's driving him out. It's something that we assume every mother would be worried, indeed. But watch the anxiety, because there's things happening there that you might not be seeing. Look again at the dynamic between the two of you. A relationship is a kind of a matrix. Also a nice word, because matrix comes from Sanskrit, matter, mother, which is the same as mother, matter, choma, also the same as mother. The matrix, the mother, the ground. Every relationship is a matrix. It's not one person. It's not another person. It is a dynamic that is all the time moving. And we, with our awareness, can be with this dynamic, watching the movement. The more we watch the movement, the more the relationship can change and not get stuck. It's dynamic. So matrix is like more than one part. There's, for example, a psychological treatment or method called systemic therapy, which is about seeing a family as a matrix. as not one person, me, needing, having to, controlling, but all the dynamic influences that are spreading all the time, based on what each person radiates, mishader, to the others. It goes in all directions. Everything we do goes in all directions. It reminds me of a story from Nasruddin, one of my favorite stories from Nasruddin, that a mother came with a boy to Nasruddin and said, my boy's wild. Can you please educate him? Frighten him a bit. He's too wild. So Nasruddin said, okay, come back in a couple of weeks and we'll do it. So she came back with the boy. Nasruddin jumped on the table, began shouting and making faces. The boy ran out of the room. She fainted. And Nasruddin ran out of the room on the other side. After a few minutes, they all came back. And she said, I want you to frighten the boy. Not me. And Nasruddin said, fear knows no address. It goes everywhere. I frightened the boy, I frightened you, and I frightened myself also, and I ran out of the room. So we should apply mindfulness, just like we're applying mindfulness to the voices in our own mind, apply mindfulness to the dynamic matrix of a relationship. Looking at the voices that come up, looking at the voices that come from us and from the other, looking at what happens between, like in the quotation on Thursday night, Nisargadatta, not Nasruddin, Nisargadatta, who said, you are not the one or the other, you are what's in between, the love that goes between. Right? So looking at that dynamic, the patterns that come, the patterns that roll with time, that are bigger than us sometimes, we have to bring them down to size. You know, patterns can just grow. They grow very fast. Suddenly we've got sort of these tavniot that are stuck in the relationship. We can't get out of them. You do this, you do this, you always do that, you always do that. Why you do this like this? Why you do that like that? Or patterns of fear or patterns of control. I'm like this, in the relationship is always telling me what to do, is always wanting to be boss, is always wanting to be in charge, is always, and I'm going smaller, 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 smaller. It's an example of a pattern. Patterns roll, and what breaks them is our power to see them. Just like in our own mind, patterns roll, like judgment, I'm no good, or I should be better, or I should be somebody else. It rolls, and what breaks the pattern is our awareness. Oh, here's a pattern. That's already broken it, little bit. Again, oh, here's a pattern. Oh, here's a pattern. Od pam tavni, oto tavni. Here we are. I've been here before. I know this one. So, watching carefully, taking a breath, standing back, watching carefully what is growing. What patterns, what expectations, what voices. Watching how we condition each other. We condition? Mutnim. Mutnim. How is it in a verb?
Mutnim.
Mutnim. How? Ech anachnu mutnim? Achad sheni. Because we do. We form a different person with the other. How much are we amazed sometimes? Our face is different when we're with our partner, our mother, like Jack Kornfield. He goes back to the mother, his mother, and he collapsed to a 10-year-old kid again. It's like so strong. We build each other. We are constructed by the other all the time. When we look carefully at these constructions as they are happening, we find our freedom. We are bigger than the construction, and we find our freedom. When we look at these relationships, they are no longer a thing. A family is not a thing. It's not something called family or zugiyut. Because I understand the need for the word zugiyut, but it gives me a little problem up in my spine, the amud shidra. Ani lo ohev kol kach et hamila zugiyut. Kamo the technika, sort of that we go to a school called zugiyut. What's the zugiyut? Efo zugiyut? Efo zug? End of our case. It's a dynamic relationship, much bigger than zugiyut. It doesn't belong to. It doesn't fit inside zugiyut. It doesn't fit in that box. So we are all the time forming each other, creating each other, making, and we're bigger than each other. And we are. We don't want to put ourselves in those clothes to fit ourselves in the inside these boxes. There is a story that, I'm sorry if you heard it before, but I'll say it again anyway because it's such a nice story, of a man that goes to a tailor to get a new suit. I think it's Polish Jewish story, folk story. Goes to a tailor to get a new suit. The tailor says, okay, I'll make it for you, come back in 2 weeks, it'll be ready. So he says, no fitting, no trying out, no, it'll be ready, no problem, trust me. Comes back in 2 weeks, puts on the jacket, and he finds one arm is long and one arm is short. Says, this doesn't work. The tailor said, no, if you go like this, it'll be fine. Says, okay, if you say so. Puts on the other side, the two not fitting. It's not balanced, it's not the same. Well, if you go a bit like that, it fits. Puts on the trousers. One leg is long, one leg is short. He said, look, one leg is... Well, if you walk like this, it's fine, it'll be all right. Just walk like that. The crutch doesn't fit. It feels very tight in here. Well, if you hold yourself like that, it'll be okay. He put on the suit and he walked outside into the street completely like this. There were two people sitting in the park and they watched this man coming like this, and one said to the other, oh, this poor cripple, he's so crippled, poor man. And the other one said, yes, he's really crippled, but he's got a beautiful suit. So we have to be careful putting on and imprisoning ourselves in these forms, in these patterns which we make and we create between ourselves and the other, and then fitting ourselves in and watching the dynamic is much freer. We are basically free inside relationship with ourselves or with others. We just have to see it, constantly see it. Take a breath, stand back, wait a moment. Someone says something to us we don't like, wait. Take a breath, look in the eyes. Where is that coming from? How am I with that? How is my reaction to that? What is bigger than this voice coming to me, this pattern from the other, my pattern that is reacting? What is bigger? What is holding all of this? What is the mystery inside this human being? That, yes, is contracted, it covets, and comes out as, I want more, or something. And how we react, and we get ourselves also stuck. So, this sense, stand back, watch, open, free, with an open mind and an open heart, containing both. And we find, again, the mystery of each other, and the love that is hiding inside these patterns. When we break the pattern, the love can open, free, spread, flow, bigger than each of us. So we take 2 minutes just to reflect.